Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We are out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. They've got West Virginia, Maryland, and that game just got a whole lot more interesting. And we've got Virginia Furman on as well. Virginia leads Furman 19-10 with about 9 minutes left to go in the first half. We're out here at Jasper's all day long. Come out, watch the games, grab some food, grab some drinks. It's a great place to watch the games. They've got a bunch of TVs up on the bar.
Maryland was down at one point 16-4, and they have now moved ahead 30-28 with a minute 22 to go in the first half. So it has swung back and forth. The old 8 versus 9, right? You usually expect a close game.
Dare we call it madness?
It's just getting started.
It is March.
We expect madness. We hope for madness.
We'll keep you updated with all of the tournament games going on today. But the interesting thing about free agency is there's going to be all sorts of moves. And it's not just free agent moves. You've got trades going down. You've got potential free agents signing big contracts. You've got players that are getting signed to big contracts before they become free agents. And that's the situation that the Tennessee Titans find themselves with Jeffrey Simmons. We know Jeffrey Simmons can play on that fifth-year option. Jeffrey Simmons is under contract with the Tennessee Titans. But what we know is Jeffrey Simmons wants to get paid. Jeffrey Simmons wants that insurance of a long-term contract. And I think that both sides want to have the same thing, where Jeffrey Simmons is playing for the Tennessee Titans for the foreseeable future. How they get there, that's what's up to contract negotiations. But over the last few days, those negotiations just got a whole lot more interesting because I think they got better for Jeffrey Simmons, and I think now the Titans are feeling the heat on their seat get cranked up just a little bit more because there were two defensive tackles whose contracts, you know, were going on around the same time as Jeffrey Simmons, two defensive tackles that the Titans or Jeffrey Simmons himself could look at to kind of be the framework for the defensive tackle market. It was Daron Payne, one of them from the Washington Commanders, and Daron Payne just signed a contract with the Washington Commanders worth $22.5 million per year. And also we see Javon Hargrave with the 49ers just signed a $21 million per year contract. Now the guarantees and are different on each of those contracts, but now the defensive tackle market has just shifted because Aaron Donald has kind of set that threshold for the D-tackle market. He makes 31.6, and then the closest behind Aaron Donald was $20 million. That was Chris Jones in Kansas City. So now you are seeing the defensive tackles creep up just a little bit more. So now the game has changed for Jeffrey Simmons now that these other defensive tackles around the league are getting their money and are getting their contracts.
Yeah, there's a lot of money going around. Top five guys, Daron Payne, Aaron Donald, Jason Hargrave, Chris Jones, and DeForest Buckner. Each one of them are making, the top four are making 20-plus. The only one that's making under 20 is DeForest Buckner, and he signed his deal, I believe, a few years ago. That's total cash. Now, base salary for this year, Chris Jones is at 19, DeForest Buckner's at 18, Grady Jarrett, Jonathan Allen, and then Aaron Donald at 13. Now, we know, you know, signing bonuses and everything else is sort of worked into there as well, not necessarily in the base salary. But if you're just looking at total cash and base salary, total cash is going to take, if you believe that Aaron Donald is a top two or three defensive tackle in the National Football League, then you're talking total cash value per year. It's close to that $30 million. It has to be. His average has to be north of 25.
You think for Jeffrey Simmons?
For Jeffrey Simmons, yes. Now, where it lands, I don't know. But I think the starting point is 25.
Starting point?
Yeah, because if you're looking at these other guys and what they got, and if we believe that the only person that is better than Jeffrey Simmons, and now listen, we're biased because we see Jeffrey Simmons all the time.
Right.
We don't see Daron Payne. We don't see Aaron Donald, Jason Hargrave, Chris Jones every week like we see Jeffrey Simmons. But if we are to believe that he is a top two defensive tackle, then that's what you're going to have to pay him. You know? Now, whether he takes a home hometown discount, that's a different story. But it's going to start mid-20s for him. I think that's going to be, you know, the floor. Now, it could get up to, you know, average close to 30 per year. Now, a lot of it could be funny money at the end, where it averaged out to be $29 million, $28 million, but you know he's not going to see all of that money. We've seen it with contracts. We saw it with the A.J. Brown contract. He averages, what, 25 per? But we know that he may not see the last portion of that contract.
Right.
He may have to rework it because I believe he will continue to get better. So he may have to rework that deal.
I'm prepared for the number to be really big. I just think when you look at what Orlando Brown just got, what some of the other free agents are getting, Jeffrey Simmons is going to ask for big, big money. I just don't think it's going to be the hometown discount. I'd be really surprised if it ends up being something that looks team-friendly. I think he's that good. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got more. It would not totally shock me if he got more than Aaron Donald got.
Really?
Just because sometimes that's what the market, it's what the market bears sometimes. It's when you become the free agent. It's when you have this kind of leverage. It would not surprise me.
And Aaron Donald is his money, he was guaranteed $95 million. Chris Jones guaranteed $60 million. Deron Payne guaranteed $59 million. DeForest Buckner, $44 million. I gotta believe that number is going to be around the Aaron Donald, Chris Jones as far as guaranteed money. I think it's closer to Aaron Donald than to Chris Jones.
I think so.
I would be surprised if it would be closer to Aaron Donald. I would, because I totally understand about when you're a free agent and when you sign a contract, because that normally pushes the contracts up, really, regardless of if you are elite or not. Like, look at Christian Kirk. I don't view Christian Kirk as a top 10 wide receiver in the league, but he reset the market for wide receivers. But I look at Deron Payne. I mean, he has one more year of experience in the league than Jeffrey Simmons does. He was drafted in 2018. He played on that fifth-year option. He's going into his sixth year, so he just signed that contract. And he just signed it last week. And he's making $21 a year, guaranteed $60 million. So that was after the Aaron Donald money. And now Deron Payne's numbers with one more year than Jeffrey Simmons in the league. He has 26 career sacks. Jeffrey Simmons has 21. So I would say, you know, add in that extra year. Their numbers are probably very similar just in terms of sack numbers. So I would expect it to be closer to the Deron Payne contract. I think that we're looking at the guaranteed money. Now that has increased. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons probably wants close to $60 million guaranteed, if not more.
Oh, he's going to get more than $60 million guaranteed. If you look at Jeffrey Simmons, and listen, if the Titans don't pay him, somebody's going to pay him. Somebody's going to get him the money. Somebody's going to give him the money he wants. Why? Because this kid is not, what is he, 23, 24 years old?
He's 26.
Is he 26 that old? I thought he came in young.
It's 25.
25. So you're talking at least, barring injury, at least another five years of dominance mm-hmm. at that position. What is that worth to you, Tennessee Titans, moving forward as the salary cap increases? Other teams are looking at this as well. Can we add a dominant force in the middle of our defense? A guy that not only is a good a run stuffer, he can get to the quarterback from
rusher.
The defensive tackle position. That is unheard of, really. Really, you're getting your sacks from the outside.
He changes the game
from the middle on out, because now, like Aaron Donald, like Chris Jones, like Deron Payne, you have to focus on the middle of the field rather than focusing on the outside of the defense.
Well, and I want to continue this conversation next, because how much has the market influenced the negotiations between Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans? And if they have, how long can the Titans truly afford to wait as more defensive tackles continue to get paid and continue to get re-signed? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Well, Darren Payne just signed a deal, an extension with the Washington Commanders. How does that affect Jeffrey Simmons' deal moving forward, or his negotiations, rather, moving forward?
Well, it resets the floor. Actually, that's how it affects it. And you saw Javon Hargrave, he signed a 4-year, I think it was $87 million or $84 million, excuse me, and there's, what, 40 guaranteed in that. So those are some numbers that you have to look at. Hargrave at 30 years old getting that deal is definitely a good thing for him. And, you know, it's a good thing for Simmons as well. So when you look at how things are going to continue to play out, you still have to keep an eye on Quinnen Williams and what happens there. I think that's the one to really watch, and those deals are going to more or less mirror each other.
There you go. That was TD on the show on Monday. TD has been the one that's really been eyeing these other contracts around the league. Daron Payne, Javon Hargrave, he mentions Quinnen Williams there. So that's kind of going to be the framework for Jeffrey Simmons' future deal with the Tennessee Titans. And I'm sure that's what Jeffrey Simmons wants. Hold off this deal as long as possible. Let the other defensive tackles that are due a contract, let them go ahead and set the market for me. Because the Javon Hargrave deals, the Daron Payne deals, they're each making about 21-ish a year. Let them continue to raise the floor. Mm-hmm. So Jeffrey Simmons wants to wait on this, but how long can the Titans really truly wait?
You know, it all depends on can they stomach him not potentially being here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can stomach that, then they can wait. If they can't, then they're going to sign a deal as quickly as possible, a deal they feel, you know, is fair, market value for his, you know, a guy at his age, what he has already done, what he has the potential to do moving forward. So to me, it's all about whether the Titans can stomach waiting or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they can stomach it and say, hey, listen, we're going to wait and see what happens in the market. We're going to, you know, sign you to, you know, a restricted free agent. What is it? The fifth-year deal, the fifth-year option. We can sign you to the fifth-year option. What is that? $20-something million, I think.
It'd be 10.5.
It's that low?
Yeah, I think it's 10.5 on the fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they can technically sign him to a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
But he still plays on the fifth-year option this upcoming season. And then it picks up in 2024.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's what the Titans want to do. I think that's the best of both worlds.
If they can stomach it and wait it out a little bit, then yeah. But if they can, if they are that pressed to sign him and believe that if we don't sign him, A, he won't be in camp because he won't play under the fifth-year option, or B, someone else is going to, you know, try to swoop in and you know, take him, offer Titans, you know, a few draft picks and kind of go on from there. But, you know, are you willing to do football life without potentially having Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of your defense?
That's the question.
Answer, no.
I don't think so.
No.
That's what comes down to who's got the leverage.
Exactly.
I think you're willing to wait it out, just like the Jets and the Packers. It appears that the Packers are the team that are more in a position to wait it out,
mm-hmm,
in their mind. And the Jets are saying, well, they got nobody to negotiate with. They got to deal with us. We're the only people knocking on their door. We got a deal done. So they're willing to wait it out. So I think the same thing could happen with Jeffrey Simmons. It could take a while.
But I am a little bit surprised to see the Daron Payne and the Javon Hargrave deals come down. I expected those deals to be higher because Aaron Donald obviously set the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's any other defensive tackle in the league that's going to get $30+ million a year. I mean, that's just an absolutely astronomical price tag that the Rams were willing to sign him to, and the Rams wanted to sign him to go ahead and get ahead of the market. I expected some of those numbers to be 23 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
So it may even work in the Titans' favor that those numbers are 21. And they're kind of sticking with the rest of the market of the kind of Chris Jones $20 million a year deals. But the difference is the guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
That Javon Hargrave and Daron Payne, they're making that guaranteed $60
million. Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the floor of what Jeffrey Simmons wants. Is $60 million guaranteed? Because $60 million of an $84 million deal, that's a solid guarantee. Solid chunk of that contract that is guaranteed. But that's now the floor.
Yeah, it's going to have to be the floor for a guy with his ability, with what he has done already at such a young age. in this league, then, you know, you have to look at it from the standpoint of how much money can I get up front? How much of this can I get guaranteed as a player, especially at that position? And it seems like if you look at the top three guys, whether, you know, you got Aaron Donald, that was just sort of a – I think that deal was done so they could – so he can retire a L.A. Ram and not let him go anywhere else, because that number is, you know, based upon, you know, where he's at in his career. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's still one of the top, you know, three or four defensive tackles in the National Football League. But I think that was more so of a, you know, we want you to retire here. We drafted you. We're going to give you this money because we know who you are as a person and a player. So it was almost like that sweetheart deal that you would give him just to stay.
Don't retire, Aaron.
Exactly. Don't retire just yet. We need you for a couple more years. So we're going to give you a little bit more just to entice you to come back to us. But, I mean, in between Aaron Donald's 95 and Deron Payne's 59-60, you got Chris Jones at 60. So that number, I believe the floor is $60 million.
The floor is $60 million
guaranteed. Yeah, now whether he takes it, that $60 million guaranteed is a different story. I'm thinking he pushing more of the 70 guaranteed. If you give me 70 guaranteed, now we can be talking.
It's a lot of money.
You should be an agent, D-Mace. I think I like this.
But the market just, I mean, that's why.
I agree with you.
That's why Lamar
Jackson. He's got the leverage.
Yeah, that's why Lamar Jackson.
He's that good.
Hasn't gotten an agent. And mark my words when I say this. Just like basketball, just like some of these sports where basketball, where the max player only get X amount of dollars. Like you're not negotiating whether if max is $240 million, you can't get no more than $240 million.
You're making
max. Exactly. If you are a max player, that's what you're getting. You're gonna start to see guys more times than not opt not to go with an agent because the market is going to tell them. If they are a top player, the market is going to tell them what they should be making in that ballpark.
I totally disagree because of Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson is in the situation that he's in because he's trying to negotiate for himself. Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult to have those negotiations when the team that you play for, when the team that you have played very well for is telling you, we don't think you're as valuable as you think you are. Mm-hmm. That's a personal hit. When you have an agent that takes the emotion out of it and they're able to have those negotiations and they know, you know, kind of the nitty-gritty of the CBA. And I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson doesn't, but CBAs and contracts, they're difficult to understand.
And that's why the NFLPA is there, because they can help you navigate through that contract. They have to look over the contract and make sure the contract is the way it's supposed to be. But you got to understand too, there have been guys that haven't had agents that have signed contracts.
Oh yes, of course.
But they haven't been, they're not the quarterback that has done it. Well, Kirk Cousins has done it, mm-hmm. but on a much smaller scale. He chose to go the 1 year route or the 2 year route, but his money was guaranteed. If more players opt to go this route, then, you know, we're not going to be discussing, well, they don't know the ins and outs, and they're not, you know, they can't take their emotion. And you're right with what you're saying, but if you have more guys starting to do it, now we're seeing that because we only have one here, one over there, one over there. And, you know, there's 1,500, maybe a little bit more now that rosters have expanded. But let's just say there's 1,500 NFL players, 2,000 NFL players. Out of the 1,500 or 2,000, there may be five that are representing themselves. Well, since the number is so low, then we are going to say what you have been saying, Caroline. But when the numbers start to tick up and you go from 5 to 15 to 20, to 30, to 40. Now we got to rework this thing. Now we got to look at this from a different point of view. Now it's not just five players. Now we got 45 players that are opting to go agentless in negotiating their contracts. I'm not saying that's the smartest thing or not, but I'm just saying I think that's the way some players are starting to go now because the market will tell them how much money they should be making if they are a top-tier player.
I wonder how the agents see that. If they if they see that. Like if they're saying,
wow. I'm sure they see that coming.
They may not need me. Like you've got to make yourself relevant, I think, if you're a good agent.
Or
right?
They're going to have to start taking lower fees.
That's too. It's supply and demand.
Exactly.
And what are you bringing to the table? Are you worth that percentage, whatever that is? You got to make
are a
yourself
lot of great
worth
agents
it. If the player
out
there sits there and says, I don't need you, or I can get this guy for 2% instead of 4%, whatever their the percentage is, then they're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you look
if
at
you
it.
Get the same service for less money, that's economics.
What it's about. Yeah.
Like the most probably notable player in the league that's playing agentless, Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
So far in his career, he's made $32.7 million. Josh Allen makes more than that in a single season. So and that's why. And they were drafted in the same year. And if you look at $32.7 million, if a starting quarterback in the league makes that, that's low, low, low on the list of starting quarterbacks. That's how much Lamar Jackson has made in his career. I think that's why you have the agent. So you have the agent that's able to go in there and negotiate before that fifth-year option comes up, before you go through the kind of the hoops that Lamar Jackson is now going through. Because how much does an agent take? 2%?
Anywhere from two to three.
That's
some agents maybe a little bit. But what we got to understand is this. Lamar can get this deal done if he wanted to. If he – because I'm sure the Ravens would guarantee him X amount of dollars or whatever it is. He wants a fully guaranteed contract. They may say – he may – if he walks into the room and say, listen, I just want to – it's been speculated that he turned down a three-year, $150 million guarantee. Well, if that is indeed the case, he already has $150 million on the table with no agent. You see what I'm saying? With no agent, I got $150 million on the table for 3 years.
Does he?
Why do I need that's what's being rumored, that he turned down 3 years. Not to say that it's true, it's just a rumor that he turned down 3 years, $150 million. If indeed that is the case, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with him. Like, without an agent, I turned down $150 million for 3 years guaranteed. What I need an agent for?
Take that?
Yeah, possibly so. But I'm pro-agent. I had two really, really good agents, so I'm pro-agent. But I don't mind if, you know, Lamar Jackson says, you know, I'm going to go this route, and I know at least I have $150 million sitting on the table.
And if he can negotiate that for himself, more power to you. Let's continue on the other side, and we'll get your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And I joined 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Caroline Willie Dimes, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline Willie Dimes, 1025, 1063, The Game. We're hanging out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. Come hang out and watch the games here. West Virginia, Maryland just tipped off in the second half. Maryland leads West Virginia 35-31. D-Maze is already sweating about his Spartans later on today. I know that he will be all day long. There's a lot of smack talk going on over here already. March Madness is here. But unless we have some thoughts to the phones.
Let's do it.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes in Clarksville, Texan, says, I think if Lamar would have played the last games of last year, he would have done bin sign. 2 years in a row, Ravens shut out of the playoffs because of no Lamar. I understand the Ravens' point of view, where they say, we cannot give you this much money guaranteed. Because we haven't been able to rely on you at the conclusion of the last two seasons. We need you to be healthy. We need you to be available. Because once we guarantee you that money, and knock on wood, if the day comes that you tear your ACL, that you sprain your ankle, you tear your shoulder, you know, I hope that doesn't happen. But if that day comes, now we are screwed. You have the money, and we don't have another option at quarterback.
I get it. I understand both sides of it.
I totally understand both sides.
I understand the organization side of it, that they're trying to protect themselves. But I also understand Lamar's side of it. Like, listen, I need to protect myself. I need to get guaranteed money. What I believe the Ravens need to do is, besides giving him his guaranteed money, they need to bolster that offensive line, and they need to give him some more weapons on the outside. They got some young talent at the receiver position, but they need to add more so he doesn't feel he needs to run all the time. So he doesn't feel that he has to win every game on every play. Mm-hmm. You get him some guys that he can rely on. He has a few on offense. He needs more than just a few. So if you do that, then, you know, why wouldn't you guarantee him X amount of dollars? Now, I'm not saying, you know, again, I don't think he should get the Deshaun Watson, you know, contract, because that contract, it was just
absolutely exactly. Bonkers.
Absolutely. That was just an outlier. That was a total outlier. They went to Mars to get that contract. That's nowhere in the realm of what a quarterback should be getting. But they should guarantee him, you know, something, you know, in that $100 million range, you know, because you figure we're going to keep him anyway for, you know, he's going to be our quarterback unless he get injured for the next 5-10 years. So why not guarantee him, you know, at least 90% of the contract?
He'll get a good bit guaranteed, but mm-hmm. I think it's just the idea, the perception.
Yeah.
Of a fully guaranteed contract. That is a completely different level. It's almost like now, like I think about like Russell Wilson with his office on the second floor and all of his demands. You have to fulfill those demands because he's basically, now he's an extension of the organization. You fully guaranteed him that contract. You've locked him into it. So it's the perception both inside the organization and around the rest of the league. There were 31 owners that were very unhappy with Haslam for that fully guaranteed contract that they gave to Deshaun Watson.
Very unhappy.
Yeah.
David Texan says, I'm not a Titans fan, but Simmons is the best player on the team. He's a top five defensive player in the league. He will get at least $65 million guaranteed. Wait and see. I wouldn't be surprised if $65 million was the number.
I think that's the ballpark.
Yeah.
I think that's the ballpark. Be ready for it.
I
wonder, too. We've said this many times. And I thought about it last night when they announced the Orlando Brown signing. Uh-huh. When you got to write a big check for that signing bonus, I don't know how much is due on day one, but that's a big check, and that's a test for Amy Adams Strunk and the ownership, right?
Are you willing? Can you stomach writing out that huge check?
Can you do it? And do you have the finances, the deep pockets, to be able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
We've been speculating yeah. about that. When's the last time they had to write a check that big?
Never.
Never. Really?
No, you have.
Like,
I
for
mean.
The big guys before, the Steve McNairs, yeah. the Eddie George, the ones, the highest paid guys, it wasn't that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Not this number.
It wasn't that number, but compare if you compare those numbers then to what it would have been, if you know compared it then to what it could potentially
right.
be
cost
now,
of
cost
change,
of living change, and everything.
All that, yeah.
So it would, you know, if you signed a $30 million guarantee on a 5-year deal, what would that be, you know, now?
At
if you
signing.
Did that, exactly. If you did that 2000. What would it be now in 2023?
So what are the biggest signing bonuses they've ever handed out in one spot? How about Taylor Lewan's contract? I think it made him one of the highest paid guys at his position. I would guess that's towards the top.
I guess Taylor, Steve,
Tannehill,
Eddie.
Tannehill.
Are you just talking about this regime now? Like,
I'm talking about all time. All time.
Oh, Tannehill.
It would probably be this regime because the money's yeah. just different.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, the money's different. But I'm just looking at guys, B-Hop, Mac, Eddie.
Yeah.
VY, well, that was his rookie contract.
And back then, that was before the rookie salary yeah. cap, so that was pretty big.
So it was pretty big.
Jake Locker. High first-round pick, pretty big.
So they've had to right now, the question would be.
But I'm just thinking, how much were those
yeah,
compared to.
But the question would be. Did they break it up? Did they break the signing bonus?
Yeah.
So where I'm paying half of it now and then half of it next year.
And that's kind of what I want to get into coming up next, the cap versus cash conversation. Because look at Orlando Brown's contract that he just signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that some people are absolutely floored by the money. And some people are thinking, why didn't he get more? And I think both things are true. And we'll explain why coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts podcast. He will join us in just about 15 minutes. We're live out here at Jasper's on West End. We're watching all the games. They've got a bunch of TVs, got all the games up in here at the bar. So make sure to come out and hang out with us at Jasper's. Breaking down what Jeffrey Simmons' contract could be. And it brings up a very fair conversation about AAV, guaranteed money, front-loaded money, signing bonus money, because that's all what's going to be negotiated behind closed doors. Because we can look at it and say, okay, you know, $22 million a year over this many years, but that's when you get into the nitty-gritty of the numbers that really matter, the signing bonuses and the guaranteed money. I think that brings me to a fair conversation about a big piece of news that came out in the NFL late last night, that Orlando Brown was signed by the Cincinnati Bengals. Good move for the Bengals. They desperately need to bolster up that offensive line. Mm-hmm. So he's signed to a four-year, $64 million deal with $31 million in a signing bonus. That's the largest ever, biggest ever signing bonus for an offensive lineman in NFL history. So you could look at it and say, oh my gosh, look at how much money Orlando Brown is making. And that's true, because he's making $31 million up front. But if you look at his actual deal, the deal that he was signed to, Orlando Brown is the 17th highest paid tackle in the NFL. So, I mean, Mike McGlinchey as a right tackle is making more money now than Orlando Brown is as a left tackle. He's making $16 million a year. That's not the most outrageous AAV signing for a left tackle by any means. I think that $16 million is a very, very fair deal. But then you look at the money that's front-loaded, that it's getting up front. Now, that's the story. That's the amount of money that he's really making. And I think it's a smart move by the Bengals to go ahead and front-load that money. He gets the money now so they can save the money next year when Joe Burrow wants that contract. The next year when Ja'Marr Chase wants that contract. And, of course, when T. Higgins' contract comes up as well. I think it's a smart move by the Bengals to go ahead and push the money up front. But when you look at the actual contract, Orlando Brown is a pretty run-of-the-mill tackle.
I'm curious about that
money,
because, like we said before, the Bengals and the Titans have some similarities. Mm-hmm. Similar size markets, family-owned teams going back generations. I would think fairly similar revenue streams available.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Mike Brown has had not the reputation of big spender at all. So here he goes doing this. But And then he's got to figure out a way. He can't let Joe Burrow go. He's got to pay him whatever. So he's trying to surround him with the best possible weapons that he can. And he's got to try to figure out how to do it, you know, fiscally responsibly. So if he can pull this off, that's probably encouraging for a Titans fan to say, well, if they can do it, if the Bengals could do it, hopefully the Titans can find the way to pay the best players. When you get the best players, you've got to be able to make it work. Use all of the loopholes, all of the flexibility you have in the salary cap structure. And that includes a lot of times being able to have the deep pockets to write the big signing bonuses, move money around, pay what you need to pay.
Dish out the cash right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was one of the reasons why, you know, if you're looking at Orlando Brown's contract, it is front-loaded. He did get a massive signing bonus. The guaranteed money, I'm sure, is there to his liking. And that's what players you're starting to see now, and hopefully you will see moving forward. If not the guarantee over the whole contract, it's how much money can I get guaranteed, period. If it's a five-year deal, $100 million, how much of that $100 million am I getting guaranteed? If I'm getting $20, $30 million of a $100 million contract and I'm considered a elite player, then that's not a good contract. It's not. That's, you're getting me for pennies, basically. No, you need to up the ante when it comes to guaranteed money. I'm not too big on the average per year, but how much of this money is going to guarantee? What you guarantee me shows me what you feel about me as a player.
And I think that's kind of where things got lost in translation with AJ's contract negotiations. He was so hyper-fixated on that AAV number and not necessarily the guarantees. Because if you look at the guarantees in Philly versus what I can only assume that the Titans were willing to guarantee with that four-year, $20 million contract that was on the table. When you consider the guarantees, the signing bonuses, the cost of living and taxes in Philly versus Nashville, it really wasn't wildly different. But the $20 million AAV versus the around $25 AAV that he was getting in Philadelphia, those numbers look drastically different.
They do, and you know, I do think it's a real thing, the cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I just don't feel like that's a thing as much in the NFL. And I've always been curious why. I don't think anybody's really ever been able to explain it to me why. Maybe I'm just not asking the right people. But it's a thing in the NHL.
Uh-huh.
The Predators have used that to their advantage a lot. The cost of living here.
Tennessee income tax versus Canada?
Versus Canada, it's a wild difference.
Yeah.
And everybody, we can ask Elliot about it. I mean, it's a thing up there. They realize that other teams have an advantage when it comes to signing free agents and all those things. When you're setting your salary cap, it absolutely makes a difference. So it doesn't seem to be as much of a thing here. And you hit it on it. Lost in translation with A.J. Brown, it just looking back on it, it does seem like the communication lines just weren't good. They got impatient with the whole thing. It should have gotten done, I really think.
Yeah. And it's crying over spilled milk now, but it always becomes relevant, I think, whenever we get into contract negotiations.
This is the next one. Everybody's going to want to know.
The next one is Jeffrey Simmons. And then you got to ask yourself, you know, okay, we need to make sure that if we have a guy that we believe is an elite player, we got to find a way to sign him early rather than later. I understand you're trying to get as much out of a player while he's young and still under that contract, but you don't want to continue to run into these situations where you're trying to work out a deal the last year of a rookie deal on a guy that is an elite player or is trending toward being an elite player.
And I think going back to Orlando Brown's deal, you know, 4 years, $64 million, averaging out to about $16 million AAV. I remember, you know, going back to the beginning of free agency or even like the last couple of weeks, so many Titans fans saying, we got to go get Orlando Brown. As soon as it was announced that the Chiefs weren't going to tag Orlando Brown, it was, oh my God, we got to get him. We got to get him. We got to get an offensive lineman like that. Yeah. Every free agency ranking that I saw on ESPN.com, you know, CBS, NFL, all of those, Orlando Brown was always the top five free agent to go out and get. And I asked myself, why would Kansas City let him walk for nothing if he really was that good? And I think you're seeing the contract that he got from Cincinnati, not the signing bonus, because I think that was more so Cincinnati's own finances, really, rather than it is, you know, rewarding Orlando Brown. But looking at the contracts, $16 million a year over the next 4 years, 17th best in the NFL, and for all tackles, I think that kind of shows you where the league really does truly value him, is maybe Kansas City indicated his value, and the contract that he's getting from Cincinnati also indicates his value, that he's a good player, but he's not a top three tackle in the league.
Well, they you know, I think each team, Kansas City felt that, okay, we got a solid year out of Orlando Brown Jr.
Mm-hmm.
We won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
But, you know, we are in a position, because we got our franchise quarterback, that we don't have to overpay for players. We can get an offensive lineman, and they did. Juwan Taylor. Is he better than Orlando Brown? Probably not. But they feel that, listen, he's not bad, but he's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of Orlando Brown, maybe a little bit better, maybe not, but he's going to be able to hold up on that left side of the line.
Even though he's been playing right tackle.
Exactly, even though he's been playing right tackle. So it just depends on how the team views you, whether you are a guy they want to bring in or you are a guy they want to keep. How do that team view you? If they view you as an elite player and they want to pay you as such, then okay. If they believe that they can allow you to walk and still get someone maybe a little bit not as good as you but close to it, but I can pay them less, that okay, bring him on. I'm going to let that guy walk and let him sign his contract with someone else. But we're not going to grossly overpay for someone that we believe is good, but he's not worth that.
And that's how you get your franchise in a sticky situation.
Exactly.
Overpaying for bad players or players that aren't worth that amount of money. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, and the 32 Thoughts podcast. He will join us coming up next. It's Caroline Ville, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.